Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. Are you concerned for your family, your friends? You believe they're lost, and you've discovered salvation, this born-again experience, this wonderful experience, and you want to give it and share it with your family or your friends, and it doesn't work. And maybe you're learning to pray for them, and you pray for them, and your prayers are not working. They don't work. Well, there's reasons that you may be ineffective. There may be reasons why you're not able to reach people. Today, our guest, Dutch Sheets, from Dutch Sheets Ministry, is going to reveal to you, he's going to teach you, show you what you're missing, what you don't know. And the results will be you would be more effective in reaching the lost, your family and friends. So here we have part two with Dutch Sheets and praying for the lost.
2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Would you mind doing something for me? Would you please say war?
War.
You're in war whether you know it or not. There is a warfare going on around us for the souls of men all the time. And it is very literal, though it is in the spirit. It is very real. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking captive, or we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, most of you probably have always looked at this passage, especially verse 5 here, that says, we are destroying speculations. The King James says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Most of us have always looked at this passage of Scripture in the context of doing this for ourselves. Renewing the mind, casting down thoughts that come to us that exalt themselves against the Lord. And I have no problem with doing that. But what I want to say to you very definitely today is that when that was written by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was not talking about how to do that for himself or for oneself. He was talking about doing this for someone else. The context here is spiritual warfare for others. He is saying that we have an ability to do some things in liberating the mind of the unbeliever from the strongholds of the enemy so that they can see the light of the gospel. And now they can see clearly. They're not deceived. They're not walking in darkness. They're not walking in this fog. They can really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have a revelation. What I want to say to us today is that we have a very important role to play through spiritual warfare in the lifting of that veil. We're told to intercede for them, and we're going to find out in a few minutes that we're told we have weapons that can break down this stronghold in the unbeliever that keeps them from seeing. We literally have a part to play. And I would say that, I would go so far as to say whether or not some people really get that veil lifted off of them and see the light of the gospel will be determined by whether or not the church does what God says to do. I'm going to define this threefold now. He goes in now and he gives us three things that comprise the stronghold. I'm going to do those next. Let me tell you, there was a fellow that I was interceding for several years ago. He was one of the worst cases that I knew of. He was very suicidal. He had committed some very terrible crimes. He was in prison, but he was also in a mental prison. Because he'd really been driven to a state of tremendous instability, I guess I would say. And had tried to take his life on numerous occasions because of the guilt that he was living with. And for, I suppose, 4 or 5 years, I began to do the things that I'm talking to you about right now. This is one of the things that God was using to teach me this course, as a matter of fact. And every day in my prayer life, I would begin to call out the various facets of this stronghold in this man. Condemnation, guilt, other things that I won't go into right now. And I would just call him by name and I would begin to quote these verses and say, the Bible says that I have power in the name of Jesus and in the Word of God and by the blood of the Lamb to demolish this stronghold in this young man and get him born again. And I say to you, enemy, in Jesus' name, you're not going to take his life. I place a canopy of protection around him in the Spirit. And I say, you're not going to take his life. I don't care how many times he tries to commit suicide. And I'm not talking about little petty things. I'm talking about slicing his wrists, hanging himself, and the cord would break, drinking bottles of Drano, bottles of pills, anything he could get his hands on. But someone would always show up. And you know why they'd always show up? Because the angels of the Lord were there. Because I was praying, and others were praying, and his mother was praying. And he couldn't even kill himself. And we hammered against that thing, and every day we set another charge of God's dynamite. And I want to tell you, eventually that stronghold in him began to crumble, and he was transformed into a new man. He's still serving God today. He's been through Bible college, and he's a transformed individual. Why? Because we just hammered away at that stronghold of the adversary in there until it finally just crumbled before Almighty God. Stronghold of the adversary in there until it finally just crumbled before Almighty God. Can you do that? For the believer. All right, three things. What is this stronghold that he says we can demolish? He gives us three things here, very important word. Imaginations is one of them. Speculation is the word in the New American Standard that I read to you. Now, I'm going to give you an amplified definition. Most of these, a lot of these words in Greek, if you don't do this, it's very difficult sometimes to get the full scope of meaning. I'm convinced that's why the Greek was used to give us the scriptures, because it was such a detailed technical language. Greeks used to brag that they could say more in one word than other languages could in one sentence. And of course they were the philosophers and the scholars of their day, the Platos and the Aristotles and all these guys who were ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But the word here is logismos. It is a deeper word than just a thought. It's actually a word that means calculated reasoning. It's a word that means deep reflection, consideration. The word for judgment that's rendered. And if you study this word, you see that it's not just the scattered thoughts or excuses that come through the unbeliever to keep them from coming to Christ. These are the calculated reasonings and considerations of the mind over time. I would call them almost philosophies. Thought patterns, ways of thinking, beliefs, belief systems that have been put into the unbeliever over time. Oh, I want to say to you right now, I want to amen your pastor. Listen, this is the reason you need to invest in those children now. Some of you will be involved in prison ministries and you'll minister in the jails. Listen, if you don't sow into these kids now, you'll minister to them in the prisons later. This word talks about any philosophy or reasoning that is planted in someone which begins to comprise the way they really think, what they really believe. It could be humanistic philosophy that's been put into them over the years. Maybe they were raised in an atheistic home where they were taught that there is no God, and every time they hear the gospel, somehow has to be filtered through this thought system. Well, what about this argument? What about that? I've been told in my life it doesn't exist. Or maybe they are Jewish in their roots and they've been taught all their life that Jesus is not the Messiah. Or maybe they've been taught in a particular religion that says I was sprinkled as a baby and that means I'm on my way to heaven. And there's a deep-seated, well-ingrained philosophy in them that just controls them. Or maybe they were wounded or abused in some way as a child or deeply rejected. And maybe there's a deep hurt in there that they struggle with that's given them a philosophy of life that's hardened their heart. Or maybe they even believe that God is not good. He's not what they say He is. No God would do these things. Or look at all the suffering in the world. Some philosophy of life that's in there that keeps them blinded to the truth. And every time you try to insert the gospel in there, guess what it has to be filtered through? I have good news for you. You have weapons that God says He will empower with His mighty power, and that power will be released, dunamis, and it will destroy, demolish that stronghold in there. Well, how do I do it? You just call it by name. And if you don't know what it is, you need to wait on the Lord, and you say, Lord, show me what it is in so-and-so that is deep in them that keeps them blinded. What is this stronghold? What is it that is in their thinking that keeps them going in the wrong direction? And when you know what it is, you begin to call it by name every day. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I speak against you, you wound of rejection that says God is not love. I call you by name, and in Jesus' name, I tear you down right now. And God's promise to you is He will release power when you do that. The second word I want to mention, he says, we're going after every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is a very important word, high thing here. Hupsoma is the word. It means anything that exalts itself to a certain position. But in the Scriptures, this word is often used as that which exalts itself against God. And I'm going to define it even more in just a moment. But this is a word that some lexicons told me it meant all pride that rises up. It is the very same root word for most high in the New Testament. It is the word for high-minded. High-minded, of course, and some of these being negative aspects of it. Most high wouldn't be negative unless it was man trying to be his own most high. But now think with me carefully here. What do you see in this word? He says, we're going to have to cast down everything, every high thing that exalts itself against God. What do you see when you think back to 2 Corinthians 4 and the fall of man, thinking of the stronghold of pride and self-exaltation in mankind? What do you see in this word? I see here that root of pride, the most highness of self that came at the fall. I've studied this word. I believe what he's saying here is that the very root of pride that controls man and causes him to not want to bow the knee to Jesus and say, I don't want to be my own Lord anymore. I want you to be my Lord. I submit to you now. I don't want to rule my own life. I want you to rule my life. That very root of pride in him, this verse says, you have weapons. Listen, do you believe this? Do you believe it? You have weapons. They are strong enough to demolish that stronghold. You start sharing the gospel with them, they might reject it. They might walk away from you, but you get in your closet. And you say, I tear down that stronghold of pride and so that causes them to want to rule their own life, that wants to rebel against Almighty God, that wants to do all of these things. I call it by name and in the mighty name of Jesus and by the sword of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:10, 3, 4, and 5, and by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of the Spirit, I demolish you now. Glory to God. Then he says, and let me just mention this quickly. What does this highness of man do? It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Ever since the fall, There's been something in man that exalts himself against the knowledge of God. Listen, you talk about an infinite, all-wise, eternal God, and you share His word with someone, you share His truth with someone, and they're so arrogant, they think they have the right to think it through and see if they agree with God. They have the right to. God gave them the free will, but let me tell you something. That is what happened at the fall. Man's knowledge from that point on always was exalting itself against God. You share the gospel, you share truth, you share what He says. Listen, something happens inside of them. It's rooted in this pride. I'll think about that and I'll let you know whether or not I believe it. Going to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Ah, but there's hope. You're so full of dynamite, you don't know it. You can tear it down. He says, we're going to do one more thing. We're going to bring into captivity every thought. Make it obedient to Christ. I said this last night. I may just say it now. We're not into mind control. We're into mind liberation. Satan is into mind control. We're not trying to enter in through prayer and control their thoughts. But what we are out to do is stop the work of the enemy in them that influences and controls their thoughts. And so what this says here, and this is a literal word for taking a prisoner of war. The word here is spear. He says, we're going to take captive. We're going to make a prisoner out of every thought that comes to that unbeliever that it becomes an excuse or reason for not coming to Christ. The word thought here is our same word that's used in 2 Corinthians 4:4 again. The God of this world has blinded the thoughts. He's influenced and distorted the thoughts and reasoning of the unbeliever. It's used again here. He says, we're going to spear, we're going to take captive those thoughts. We're going to capture them and put a stop to that in the Spirit. We're not going to argue with them. We're not going to talk them into it. Have you discovered yet, most of you, you just can't do that? There's a very unaffectionate term for that. It's called nagging. We do it, but don't. Every thought. This is also, listen to this. This is a word for plan. It's the word in the New Testament for scheme. He says, I'm going to give you the ability to take captive, capture the spear, every scheme that the enemy has to keep your person that you want to see born again. I'm going to give you enough power that you're going to, in the Spirit, you're going to spear and take captive every scheme the devil has to keep him done. Every plan. This is the same word that's used by Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:11. He says, Satan's not going to take advantage of us because we're not ignorant of his devices or schemes or ways of thinking. We're going to understand the way he thinks. We're going to have a knowledge of his schemes. As we wait upon the Lord, he's going to show us exactly what to do. And we're going to take those things captive and see that person liberated and come to Christ. And we're going to do it right now. Is that all right? If I would like for the pianist to come, if you would, or one of the musicians, whichever you choose. And we're going to just, as it plays, we're going to begin to pray. And I taught this to my people just a few weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and they began to do this. I hammered this into them so much because you know what? We have done the body of Christ for too long. We've had so much good teaching, but we've failed to put in practice. You know, we walk away and we just fail and break down on application. And I finally hammered into them that enough of it that we've got to do these things. We've got to do it. You can't just hear this. You have to do it. You have to do it every day. Every day. Every day. You call out those philosophies, those belief systems. You call out the root of pride. You call out the various schemes that you see operating, the plans, the thoughts, the excuses. And you call them by name and you call the person by name and you say, in Jesus' name, I demolish that right now. I had people start coming to me. Within 2 weeks, within 1 month, we had 3 hard cases that were born again. With one girl, she came to me and she said, "What, my brother-in-law is one of the worst cases that I've had. I didn't see any hope for him." And God convicted me when you were teaching this and said, "If you will begin to do those things for him," and she said, and the Lord said to her, "I want you to start with the hard one." I said, I want you to do that every day. He said, I begin to do it every day consistently throughout the day. When I'm thinking about it, I just call out that root of pride. And any philosophy that I knew in there, whether it was some religion or whatever it was, I don't know what it was. And she said, I pull you down in Jesus' name. I demolish you. Within 2 weeks, she got a phone call from her sister and said, guess what? So-and-so, I don't know the brother, so-and-so gave his heart to the Lord. He got on the phone. He'd always been the one in the family that ridiculed her all the time and mocked her and made fun of her. He got on the phone and was just broken and weeping and telling her how much he loved Jesus and how transformed he was. I'm telling you, it's true. You can trust that book. Here's what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes. I want you to think of someone that you want to see come to Jesus. Mom, dad, brother, sister, husband, wife, friend, neighbor. I want you to think of someone, and it may very well be someone that God wants you to take on as a project. Probably it should be someone that you're relatively close to or know well. We're not going to take on the whole city right now. We're just going to take on one person. And I would like for you, one at a time, we're going to take these areas, and I'm going to ask you to pray. You call them by name, and you say, Lord, I pray for so-and-so right now. And you begin to call down any philosophies, any rooted beliefs in them that you know oppose God. You begin to call out pride in them that blinds them to truth. And you begin to call out any scheme that you know of or any thoughts that they have that cause them not to want to come to Christ. We're just going to take 5 minutes and do that. Everybody here that knows Jesus, I'd like you to do that. Because that's the only requirement. You have to know Jesus and you have to believe. Do we stand? Let's stand. Let's stand to our feet and do it right now. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray. You call them by name. Father, we just lift so-and-so before you right now. Lord, I thank you that your mighty power is here. Lord, you have given us precious promises, and you said that we can do these things, not by our strength, not by the flesh, but by your precious Holy Spirit. And right now, Lord, we're going to believe your word. And so we pray for so-and-so. And just give their name and call it out to the Lord. We just lift so-and-so before you now, Lord. That son or daughter or husband or wife or friend or relative, neighbor, we don't care. Lord, we just lift them to you now. And we begin to call out to you the philosophies, the processes of thought that the enemy has successfully put into them that keep them blinded to your truth and your gospel. And we just say boldly in your mighty name that that stronghold is not going to survive. That fortification, that prison is coming down in your mighty name because you've given us weapons that are powerful enough to demolish those things. And we choose this day to believe in you, Jesus. We believe that your Holy Spirit is awesome in power. We believe that your arm is not shortened that you cannot save. We believe that your wind is about to blow into their life and that the dead bones can live. We say it boldly. We say that now deposits of dynamite in the Spirit are being placed there even now. And a demolition is about to happen. And we're going to see that wall come down. We say to you, philosophy. We say to you, reasoning, false belief, deception. You will fall. Every brick in the wall is coming down in the mighty name of Jesus. We don't care how much, how long it's been in there. We say you're coming down in His mighty name. You will not stand. You will not prevail. We don't come to you with our own strength or abilities. We come to you as David came against Goliath in the name of our God. We call you an uncircumcised Philistine giant that has no strength against our mighty God. And we sling the stone of the Spirit against you even now. And we say you will fall and we will take your head. We come against you now, root of pride. We say that you will not prevail. You who exalt yourself against the Lordship of Jesus. You who cause that individual to want to do their own thing, to not want to bow the knee, to want to control their own life, to want to believe that they know more than God or have a right to rule Him or go against what He says. We just oppose you now in the Spirit. And we say that you're not going to prevail. You're not going to stand. You're a part of a stronghold that God says we can tear down. And in His mighty name, and by the sword of the Spirit of God, and the blood of the Lamb, we say that you're coming down. We demolish you in Jesus' name. Come on, call them by name and do it again. Hammer away. Call them by name and say, we tear you down in the mighty name of Jesus. We oppose you with strength this day. Hallelujah. And Lord, we now come to every scheme, every noema, every thought, every plan, be it well laid or be it just a spur of the moment thing, we say there is no plan of the adversary that is going to successfully prevail against you. We're going to take him prisoner right now. Every time he comes, every day, we're going to spear every thought he brings them. We may not know what it is, but we're just going to do it in prayer, Lord. We're going to say, we take dominion over every thought of the adversary, every scheme that he has, every plan that he has in this individual's life. We say we take it captive right now, according to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We take it captive right now, in your mighty name, Jesus. And they're being liberated from their prison this day, in your mighty name. We call it so, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him thanks. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord.
Oh, that was wonderful, Dutch. Thank you. That was wonderful. What a blessing. Dutch Sheets, praying for the lost.
By chance, I met a man today. He told me God was dead. He laughed and then he cursed and he used God's name in a way that I once did. He said, just do a miracle and maybe I'll believe. And I said, you just held a miracle when you shook hands with me. I began to tell him of my life in days gone by, of how that sin had occupied my world of compromise. Then I saw a tiny tear as he began to realize he was looking at a miracle right before his eyes. A miracle, what kind would you like to see? To me, the most beautiful miracle was done in the heart of me. I began to say a prayer, and at once we both could feel the presence of the Holy One, unseen and yet so real. Then I saw that spark of light in a life once dark and dim, and I just watched God's miracle begin to work again.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn.
If our program has been a blessing to you today and God has touched your heart, your mind, or your body, take some time and write a note to us.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rohn, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.